Welcome back to the football show. My name is Arthur Wilkie, Thomas Wheaton. It's been a long time coming, but we're back for the new season. A little bit late, though, and we're going to start here, actually, with some Premier League talk. We'll go over our early thoughts. Then we're going to move on to something a little bit more topical, USA-Mexico yesterday, the renewal of the rivalry. And then we'll move on to some MLS. Zlatan in L.A. They just fired Siggy Schmid down there. What's going on? And we'll talk about the next week in soccer, which starts on Saturday with Spurs versus Liverpool. We'll talk about that in depth. And hot starts from Watford and Chelsea and a Champions League outlook, who we like to take the whole thing. So we'll start off, though, with the Premier League. What are your early thoughts in the beginning of the season with, of course, teams like Watford, like Chelsea, with perfection, Liverpool as well, with perfect records thus far, and a lot of competition there at the top?
Yeah, obviously, you know, the big boys, Chelsea, Liverpool, Manchester City, they're all up there. Spurs are hanging around. Manchester United is farther down on the table, which makes me very happy. And I think that the Jose Mourinho experiment will soon come to an end. That's more of a hot take, but it's a third season for Mourinho. Never really ends up very well. But yeah, you know, the Watford has been a pleasant surprise. My boy Troy Deeney, Watford is not one of those teams that anybody expected to be in the top four, but here they are, remaining perfect after four weeks. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my Chelsea, my Blues are up there as well. I think the biggest thing to really keep an eye on, though, is Liverpool, because I want to see how well they can do. They're a popular pick in the Champions League, you know, after making it to the final last season. I don't think that they're going to repeat and have as great of a season as they did last year, but, you know, starting off early, four wins is impressive. And I honestly, my pick to win the league again is City, just because I think they have the most talent. I think Liverpool finishes third. I think Chelsea finishes second. And then I think that Spurs will finish fourth. And that rounds out my top four. But for now, I'm kind of just hoping that Watford earns a Europa League spot come end of season.
Well, here's how I kind of see it there at the top. And I think that Liverpool has done enough to strengthen their squad to have a great, great first team. And if that first team is intact through the whole season, that front three especially stays healthy, Mane, Firmino, Salah, of course, then I think they can challenge for the title. I don't think they're going to do as well in the Champions League, but I think that Liverpool team and their supporters are more desperate for a Premier League title. So I think this is actually their year, because Manchester City is going the other way and they want to get a Champions League title under their belt. They're first. And I think that's more of a, because they smashed records last season under Pep, but that's more of a priority this year to go for the glory, go to be the best of Europe, not just the best in England for Pep Guardiola and Manchester City. So I think both teams is kind of a perfect storm for them. But then you've got teams like Chelsea, and I won't count Watford in because I don't think they'll hang around realistically unless they're another Leicester and all the top clubs have a down year, or they somehow are better than all the top clubs, which is very unlikely. But Chelsea under Sarri have looked completely transformed. They've only allowed three goals in compared to, well, three for City and Watford and then one for Liverpool. And that was, of course, Alisson's screw up there in their latest game. But they've looked so good under Maurizio Sarri. I didn't think it would happen this easily. And I really didn't think that they would have the squad to contend and stay up there. But Chelsea, time and time again, they prove to us that these manager switches just have the effect that Abramovich wants them to have. And they're up there contending for titles once again. They're just renewed as in a year where they're not in the Champions League as one of the best in the country.
Yeah. My take on Chelsea is I'm going to be a little bit more hesitant to just completely jump on board and roll with it, because the first season for Antonio Conte was incredible, and then the second, not so much. His team struggled. But I think Sarri is way more suited to get the most out of a quality talent like Eden Hazard. I truly believe that he has an argument for being the best team, or the best player in the Premier League. Like, I think he's incredible. Obviously, there's a little bit of homerism there, but still. Biggest question mark with Chelsea is obviously at striker. Alvaro, Misrata, Olivier Giroud, they're not going to get you to a title.
You've adopted the Misrata title.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really don't think they're going to go all the way for a championship.
No.
But they can either. Win a cup.
Yeah, yeah. I obviously, I think silverware is not out of the question. Their midfield is one of the best in the Prem, obviously with N'Golo Kanté, Jorginho, the new signing, who is helping implement Sarri ball, and obviously Mateo Kovacic, who they have on loan from Real Madrid, even Cesc Fabregas when he comes back, or, you know, it just, the midfield, the depth is there, which we didn't have last year. Willian and Pedro are doing well at right wing. The defense has a couple of question marks, but I like playing a back four. Obviously, Marcus Alonso is one of the best left backs in the league. The center back pairing is a little bit sus, especially David Luiz hasn't been playing his best, but Antonio Rudiger is great. I think Andreas Christensen is a young up-and-comer, and then obviously having Azpilicueta out there on the right back side, on the right back position is great. Obviously, Kepa holding his own so far, but he's no Courtois. We'll see how that plays out. But yeah, I think Chelsea will be competitive, especially being in the Europa League. They're obviously going to focus more on the Prem, kind of like how they won the league 2 years ago when they weren't in the Champions League. So it gave them a great opportunity to focus on their Prem matches. I think they'll put a little bit of stock in the Europa League because if you win it, you get an automatic Champions League bid next year. And I think Chelsea obviously are more than capable of winning the Europa League because I think they are heads and shoulders above a lot of the other teams in the Europa League, but we'll see how it plays out. I'm just not quite ready yet to just completely jump in and roll with it. But hey, they look good. Sarri looks like he knows what he's doing. It's a shame he can't smoke on the sideline, though. It might help calm his nerves.
That would be one of the best moments of the Premier League season, of which we've already had a couple that have been pretty memorable. DeAndre Yedlin scoring a goal for Newcastle.
The American.
Wolves coming back into the Premier League, returning to Molineux. I don't even think I pronounced that right, but really? Molineux? It's not Molineux.
Molineux.
Yeah. I can't speak French.
Me neither. But
yeah, well, we'll get there eventually. Spurs still not in their new toilet bowl. They're postponing moving into their new stadium. They're going to play a couple games at Wembley there. And Everton, with Richarlison, perhaps being one of the early contenders for signing of the summer.
Yeah, obviously. I think he had an impressive season last year, and he has a real shot at being the young player of the year, which has been dominated by Dele Alli the last couple of years at Tottenham. But I would love to see a guy like Richarlison have a really good year and take that award.
How about his Brazil debut against El Salvador yesterday? 2 goals. And, of course, El Salvador minnows compared to Brazil, yes. But still not too shabby for him coming on and getting a brace for himself. And like you said, Man United, just looking at the table here, in 10th right now. Yep. Oh, after 4 games, great to see them somewhat struggling. But I think they'll find their footing once again right up there, but it really looks like the Mourinho meltdown is in full effect early in the year. Respect me.
God, that was,
you know what? That was something. You know the score we lost by? 3-0. You know how many Premier League titles all the other champions or the other managers have combined? 3. What is that even supposed to mean, Jose?
Yeah, I'm not sure what that was all about.
I wouldn't be flaunting around that I just lost 3-0, would you?
No, not at all.
All right, Thomas Mourinho. Much better than the original. Let's move on to international talk. International break always kind of takes the life out of soccer, yeah.
Yeah.
But we do get a look at a young USA team. And for us over here, we're very interested in seeing what the future holds. But I'm just glad I'm not subjected to watching, you know, Michael Bradley and Jozy Altidore face off against, let's say they faced against Brazil and Mexico, the two teams that the youngsters just had in this international break. It would make it so much less entertaining to watch because we already know what to expect from them. We know they're probably not going to be a part of the setup in 4 years, and they're just not, well, maybe Jozy, but they're just not fun to watch at all because we're just frustrated watching every second of them.
They're boring.
But this was a Pulisic and Josh Sargent-less squad that took on Brazil, and they only lost 2-0. A questionable penalty there for the second goal there by Brazil. Yeah. And you had DeAndre Yedlin go up to the referee and say, have you seen the World Cup? Did you see Neymar flopping all the time? That was a fun moment from that one. And then yesterday in the Mexico game, a renewal of the rivalry because you had Tyler Adams score his first goal just minutes after Matt Miazga went up to Diego Lainez. And he put his hand at a horizontal position right under his chest, right under his chin, yeah. kind of at mocking the height of Diego Lainez. Now, me, as a small guy myself, vertically challenged, I guess, is the term. Look, I don't really like that. But as a USA fan, let's rub anything we can into Mexico's faces that we can. And thank you, Matt Miazga, for doing that, because it kind of lit the spark in that match, got them to concede a red card. And then Tyler Adams scored his first goal in a USA uniform and won the match for USA. So that spark that we needed. And it's much better than seeing these players that would come out and not give their all in a USA-Mexico match.
Yeah.
Friendly or not. And that was a critique of a lot of these players that came in from Germany as German-Americans, like Fabian Johnson even, in the Klinsmann era. So.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to look forward to from this USA squad. It's full of fresh youngsters that are obviously vying for a spot, and that's why they're playing as hard as they are. And, you know, when you have guys like Tyler Adams and you have, you know, even better players like Josh Sargent and Chris Blushot, you have a chance for guys like Kellen Acosta and Tim Weah and Weston McKennie to have a chance to show what they have. And I think Weston McKennie is going to be somebody that features a lot in the future. Obviously playing over in the Bundesliga, he's killing it. He's doing a great job. It was fun to watch. The sparks fly, and that's what you want to see from USA Mexico. And there's a lot to be excited about. And honestly, I had flashes of John Terry from that Matt Miazga scenario. And I know that's
just being an a-hole.
That's a big stretch. But you like to see that kind of swagger.
Of course.
Obviously.
Of course. Against the rivals, yes.
Obviously, he probably didn't need to keep doing it. And he didn't need to go to the extent that he did. But it was funny at the time, right? It was one of those things where it's like, I actually saw a really good point from Kevin Egan about it. He's all for, you know, trash talking. He's all for getting the opponent's head and that kind of stuff. But when you're representing your country, you have a different set of like rules to follow, I guess, right? Like etiquette on the field. And obviously I'm not advocating for them to like be like not play with that same sense of urgency, but he probably didn't need to drag him as much as he did and continue, you know, the one or two high references maybe, but it kind of went on for a bit.
He was like looking at him with
binoculars. Yeah.
Well, then once he faced some backlash from Edson Alvarez, who came over and he's his height and he just came in and shoved him, then he just looked at the ref and pointed at Edson Alvarez, you know, like you can't have your cake and eat it too.
Exactly.
I'm sorry, Matt Miazga. Great. You have to back yourself up
there. Miazga was on a yellow, so probably smart for him to not react to Alvarez doing that, but still, that's...
Get in his face, say a couple words, don't say anything too over the top, but defend yourself. Don't just point at the referee.
That's kind of weak. That, to me, is captaincy material right there from Miazga. Wiltrap was the captain for this one. Was it Wiltrap? I think it was Wiltrap. He's probably the most capped player at this point, which says a lot.
In that squad.
In the squad from last night. Yes, exactly. But still... Good signs of life from this USA team, which we haven't seen for a long time.
I want Pulisic to be my captain from that USA team. Yeah. I think there's people that are a little bit more level-headed than, yes, you bring the sparks out, but you're already on a yellow card, like you mentioned in that game. And maybe that's not the game where we look at Matt Miazga as captain material, but he has put in very good performances for the United States, and that's exactly what we want from one of our young players that has been part of a historically significant setup with the Chelsea Academy, being a loanee, going out to Vitesse for several years. And I think eventually he's going to break into a top European team, and he's going to be a strong center back that we can rely on for a long time. And pair him and John Brooks together, and I think you've got a very strong pairing back there.
I also really like the fact that, obviously, my sounder, Cristiano Ronaldo, got some playing time, had a brief cameo there. But I think it just goes to show that there's a lot of young talent. And again, we don't need to beat this dead horse, but the future's bright. And I think that American soccer should expect more. I think that obviously the next step is naming a manager. And they lost out on Juan Carlos Osorio, who signed with Paraguay, of all countries.
That's kind of attractive, I think, because they're in the CONMEBOL. That's kind of a proving grounds as, you know, the hardest qualifying competition in South America, and they were so close
yeah
in making it this past cycle.
But
So we'll see.
We'll see. Yeah.
Obviously. And I don't know if you'd want a Mexico manager that just managed that team.
Yeah. That would be a little weird. I'm much more in the Tata Martino camp.
I'd love that. Yeah.
I think if there's any job that's going to get him out of Atlanta, I think it would be the U.S. national team job.
Or the Argentine national job.
Or the Argentine
either or. Job. Either or. Zlatan in L.A., going back to MLS now. That experiment has gone successfully for Zlatan, I think, and for the Galaxy to a certain extent. But you can't ignore, you have the Ferrari in attack up front. It's the classic, what Liverpool was for several years.
Yeah.
Ferrari in attack, and then you've got a rusting old, like, 1950s, 1960s Ford in your midfield defense, and sometimes in goal with David Bingham. Maybe that's more like a 90s Camry or something in goal.
Yeah.
Gets you where you need to go, but sometimes can have issues that causes you a headache. Now, I'm not a car guy, so I don't really know how accurate that comparison was, but I did my best on the spot there, and that's exactly what I see out of LA this year, is that, well, they're kind of doing the best with what they have, but look, they don't have a whole lot of quality in defense, a little bit more in midfield, but Siggy Schmidt, is that too tall of an order for a manager, even of his caliber, to try to put together, or is it just too tough for anyone to do now? It's Dominic Kinnear, who, of course, in his last job with the San Jose Earthquakes just last season, they looked terrible. They looked really boring, and it was Kinnear ball, and it was a lot of low-scoring games. Maybe you tighten up the defense a little bit more with him, but he was in the same setup as Siggy Schmidt, and you know, neither of them could do anything to fix this team, and they're fighting for that spot in the Western Conference playoffs. Is it the right move right now?
I don't know. I can't really speak too much on the coaching change simply because I do have a soft spot for Siggy Schmidt. He coached in Seattle for a long time. But I do think that to an extent, the way Siggy manages gets old. It gets stale. And when things aren't going your way, you get sick of it. And that's kind of why he was sent out of Seattle. Things weren't going their way. Siggy wasn't doing enough to change it. He wanted to keep playing what he was playing. And I think that's what he's been doing in LA. And here's a good point to support what you were going with. LA has scored 51 goals. That's second most in the West, only behind LAFC. However, they've conceded 54 goals, which is the most by two goals in the Western Conference. So that's not a winning formula. So you do mention here that you have a Ferrari in attack in Zlatan, and he's going to be able to win you some games. But if your defense and your goalie aren't cutting it, you can't put that on the manager. Obviously, maybe you can make a couple tweaks. Maybe you drop something, you know, you switch your formation up, or you switch, you put two CDMs in instead of one. I know LA has struggled with health, and I think it's still, you know, a testament that they're in a playoff spot right now, sitting at eighth. But I don't think that – so to answer your question, I don't think it was right to move on from Siggy. I think Siggy is a more proven coach than Dominic Kinnear. I think that he had a better shot of taking them to the playoffs and finding success in the playoffs, because all you need to do is get to the playoffs and have that – you know, those two legs where Zlatan is obviously going to play better than he did in the regular season because there's more on the line. But I do think that part of it was injuries. Part of it was bad defense. And I don't think you can put all of that on Siggy, so I think it's tough. And it was interesting that they didn't fire him. He stepped down.
Right.
Which is obviously a sugar-coated way of saying he was fired, and you're allowing Siggy to go out on his own terms. But I'm not so sure it was the best move. And to be honest, I don't think they make the playoffs.
You definitely respect someone like that. And I think that as tight as it is right now, I think you might rely on the quality of Zlatan to get you through. And Kinnear is just going to have to shut up shop for the next several games going into the playoffs. I think there's, what, like 9 games left in the MLS calendar? Games left. So with the small amount of games there, he has to take this time now during the international break, especially to reset the defense, try to get them in a good defensive shape, and pray that LA can get the first goal and hold on for either a win or a draw in every single game from here on out, because it's that tight in the Western Conference right now. And that's kind of what Kinnear's best at, you know? He's kind of like a Sam Allardyce, because he won't necessarily win you everything, but he will get you at least in a good defensive shape. Now, can they do it with the players that they've got? I don't know. Maybe it's time that you give our boy Tomas Hiller-Arce a chance. I don't think that Siggy really gave him a fair shake. And I think that he's, in many ways, a more viable defender than some of the guys they have back there right now. So we'll see what the Western Conference picture looks like. They're not going to win MLS Cup. Nope. That's for sure. Zlatan's going to have way too many people marking him. And I don't necessarily agree that he's going to elevate his performance in the MLS Cup playoffs, but I do think that he's going to perform adequately, what you expect out of him, but that's not going to be enough when there's more on the line and you expect more performances out of everyone else on the squad. But this team can score goals, yes, but they've really, really got to work on staying tight and trying to keep it there. But I think this is going to be another offseason where hopefully Zlatan stays for their sake and they're able to bring in a lot more talent in midfield and defense and move on from there. And you just have to rely on him signing that contract for another year, staying there.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure if that original term has him there until next season. So
it's definitely not a fun situation to be in if you're an LA Galaxy fan. Obviously, you'd much rather be on the other side of the highway rooting for LAFC right now.
Yeah. Their new stadium, it looks very good for LAFC. But we'll talk more about that once MLS Cup playoffs begin later on and once we get closer, of course, as the weeks come in. So Champions League outlook, back to Europe. Who do we like to win it all? Let's go group by group. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, who we see making it out, who's going to have trouble. So Group A, Atletico Madrid, Club Brugge, Borussia Dortmund, and Monaco. And this is going to have to be quick because we're running out of time. But I am going to pick Madrid and Dortmund, but it's not going to be easy. Monaco to finish third, Brugge to finish fourth. And Brugge are a lot more difficult of an opponent than, say, last year it was Karabag from Azerbaijan, and Atletico still struggled against them.
Yeah.
Dortmund are held to go and play at the Signal Iduna Park against, and Monaco at the Stade Louis II, under Leonardo Jardim, I think they're still going to have a lot of trouble because of the youth that always comes in year in, year out, that's really hungry to prove themselves in the European competition. So watch out for Monaco, watch out for Dortmund. It won't be easy. It's going to be a tight, scrappy dogfight, but that is exactly what Atletico are best at. So are those is that the same order for you?
Yeah.
Okay. Group B, Spurs, Barcelona, PSV, and Inter. Pretty tough group for Spurs. Tough group for Inter. And Barca, I think they have enough quality to finish first in this group. Yeah, but we did see Spurs last year against Madrid perform very, very well, so maybe they elevate their game again. But and they didn't bring in any new signings. Nope. That's probably going to be a weakness in this competition.
$0.
Yeah. Probably going to be a weakness here. And they are going to have to wait until January to reinforce their squad. So that's going to be this whole group stage that I think is going to hurt them a little bit. And they might finish third here to Inter.
Yeah, I agree with that. That was going to be I thought I was going to be, you know, alone in that and have that hot take where I had Barca and Inter moving on. But I think Inter has more talent and has a better chance at emerging from this group over Tottenham.
Spurs third, PSV fourth. And I like Spurs, though, if they drop to the Europa League, to go on and make a run there, because I think they really need a trophy at this point. It won't be the Champions League for them. Group C, Napoli, Liverpool, PSG, Red Star, Belgrade. Should be Liverpool, PSG, but I'm excited for those Napoli-Liverpool games.
Me too.
Oh, those will be fun.
Obviously, Sarri ball is no longer being played in Napoli, but I think those two are going to be good. I think they have a lot of talent. Dries Mertens is one of my favorite players in the league, in the world. I'm talking football. But yeah, I honestly, I'm going to go a little bit hot here. I'm going to take PSG and Napoli. I think Liverpool is going to be too focused on the Prem, and they're going to drop a game in group play, and it's going to be too much to overcome.
They're going to go to Serbia, and they're going to lose 1-0 on a fluky goal.
They're not going to go lose to Red Star Belgrade. But yeah, exactly. To my point, exactly. Something is going to happen, and they're going to be unlucky, but they're not going to emerge from the group.
I like Liverpool and PSG. Don't know what order. Napoli third, Red Star fourth. Group D, Porto, Galatasaray, Lokomotiv Moscow, and Schalke. I'm going to root for Schalke because McKennie's there. And this is the widest open group out of anyone. This is kind of, this will be the most fun, but this will be the group where no one's going to do anything once they get into the round of 16 and further. So I do think out of these four, it's going to be Schalke and Porto. Galatasaray haven't really looked that special in Turkey so far. And then Russia's always a tough trip to make, but I don't think they're going to do much. So Porto, Schalke, and then the other two can just be whatever. What do you think?
I'm trying to figure out, I think it's Weston McKennie. It is Weston McKennie that plays for Schalke.
That's right.
So I'm obviously pulling for Schalke. Want the young American to see if he gets a shout in the Champions League. But yeah, I think it has to be Porto and Schalke. But Galatasaray could make it interesting.
Good.
I mean, Lokomotiv Moscow, fourth and still lock. But yes.
Group E, Bayern, Ajax, AEK Athens, and Benfica. It's between Benfica and Ajax for 2 and 3, I think, and that'll be kind of the spotlight on this group. Bayern should pretty much steamroll everyone. Yeah. Ajax, they've kept a lot of their players from their Europa League runners-up performance against Manchester United, and they could really challenge against Benfica there. So that's kind of a toss-up, flip a coin, see who you like.
Yep.
But I think that Benfica just has that much more established quality that's there.
Now, I'm just pulling for Ajax. I watched a little bit of their play-in games, actually, the other day. I guess it was last week, and they looked pretty good. So I'm gonna pull for Ajax here instead of Benfica. Obviously, Bayern at number one.
Okay. Differing there. That doesn't hurt to have that there. A little bit of controversy here in the group stages. We'll see how we do later on. Group F, Lyon, Shakhtar, Hoffenheim, and Manchester City. City 1, Lyon 2.
Sure.
Hoffenheim 2?
Shakhtar 2? It's not out of the realm of possibilities that Shakhtar surprises people. They were surprising last year.
That is true.
So, you know, it's really tough. But yeah, I think it's probably Man City and Lyon. Obviously, Fekir is still in Lyon.
I'm going to switch this up. City, Hoffenheim.
There you go.
1-2.
There you go.
Lyon 3, Shakhtar 4. Not a distant 4, though. Keep it interesting. Someone's going to take points off of Man City. It won't be perfect. Group G, CSKA Moscow, Real Madrid, Roma, and Viktoria Plzeň from the Czech Republic. Real Madrid, Roma.
Yep, easy.
Yep.
Lock it in.
Moscow 3rd. Group H, this is the last one. Juve, Young Boys, Manchester United, and Valencia. This should be pretty clear between Juve and Man United, but watch out for Valencia.
Yeah, I really like Valencia, especially if Man United has changed their manager by this point or at some point they change their manager. But don't sleep on Valencia. Good take there.
Well, it's Valencia this year that has Michy Batshuayi.
Yes.
Is that correct?
My boy, Batman.
Yeah, so see what he can do in Spain. I personally think I would have liked it better if he would have stayed in Dortmund because he had such a good run there and he looked very good. But this is a very decent top to bottom team that Valencia has, and we're waiting a little bit more for the emergence of Gonzalo Guedes. But here's something that could affect that, though. Denis Cheryshev today was accused by the Spanish Football Federation of doping, and he's played his whole career in Spain. Who didn't see this coming? He's not the first Russian player I think we'll see that'll come out with some doping, but they ran further than anyone else in the World Cup. And that had to do something with their finish, don't you think? Something fishy there.
Yeah, a little bit.
Something fishy. So, Juve, Man United, 1-2, you think?
I'm going to go with Valencia.
All right.
I'm going
Mourinho meltdown.
I'm going all hot takes here, dude.
Wow.
No Liverpool, no United in the round of 16.
I'll keep it safe. Juve, Man United, then Valencia and Young Boys. Who's to win it all?
Man. I think the final, my dream final is Barcelona against PSG. Watch Neymar and Messi face off, and PSG obviously new look with one of my favorite goalies in the world, Gigi Buffon, in net now. I think it's gonna be interesting, but I think Barcelona is probably the best team as it stands.
Man City, Barca.
Man City, Barca.
I would love Man City to get to the final. I think they have the quality. I think Pep Guardiola is going to get them there eventually. So why not this season? And Messi needs to try to rack up some more Champions Leagues before his career is over. So that is how I see it. To win it, we'll get there. But lean in Man City right now.
Okay.
Lean in Man City, yeah.
Write it down. Lock it up. Put it in Fort Knox.
But before we end, Spurs, Liverpool this Saturday, 4:30 a.m., what do you see? What's your take here? Who do you pick? I am personally going to roll with a Liverpool draw.
How does that work? A Liverpool draw?
A draw. A draw for both teams. It's Spurs at quote-unquote home.
Eh. They're trash at Wembley. I think Liverpool is going to roll them. I think it's going to be 2 or 3-0. I don't think Tottenham is really, obviously I'm a Tottenham hater. It's well documented. But genuinely, I believe that Liverpool is going to dominate the match through and through.
Thomas's Tottenham tirade, very short and sweet today, boom, just like the episode was. We'll see you back next week for another, fingers crossed, short and sweet episode. Hope you enjoy the 30-minute format. We're not trying to do hour-long shows anymore. Those will just take the life out of everyone here, right? But thank you all for tuning in. I'm Arthur Wilkie-Thomas. We'll see you again when we see you again.